Sky Sports Radio combined with Harness Racing New South Wales brings you On The Pace for your daily dose of news and tips.
Good morning, welcome to On The Pace. Happy Easter Monday to you from Michael Guerin. I'm going to talk harness racing with you and for you for the next half an hour or so. It's been a crazy busy weekend considering it was Easter for the harness racing front. We had the Bathurst Gold Crowns and Tiaras and just lots of gold coming out of Bathurst on Saturday night. Then the road show moved to Wagga yesterday in the Riverina, where they had the 4 and 5 year old championships for the boys and the girls. And one man who was heavily involved and successfully involved in both is Brad Hewitt. He joins us this morning. Hey Brad, congratulations on what was a phenomenal weekend. Thank you for joining us this morning to talk about it.
Thanks, Nick. Yeah, no worries.
Mate, must have been a long old day. You were Bathurst on Saturday night, I presume, travelling first thing in the morning and leaving a Group 1 winner behind in bittersweet, and then heading off to the Riverina. So it's a lot of big-time racing in the space of about 18 hours.
It's been a big old 2 weeks, really. I think, looking at yesterday, I think raced about 10 out of the last 14 days. So I was glad to get the weekend out of the road and take it a bit easy again for a bit.
Okay, it's always a lot easier to go to work when you're working with a horse like Bittersweet. She won the $150,000 gold tiara final. This is for the two-year-old pacing girls on Saturday night. And look, when they're group ones, Brad, you're not supposed to win by a cricket pitch. That's what she did, 21.6 metres. And she just seems to have all the great attributes of the really good Captain Treacherouses. She is a super early season filly.
Yeah, that's right, Mick. She's just got she had the advantage over the rivals, like drawing one, which helped the starters. But she's just a big, strong, mature filly. And yeah, you almost feel bad going out and when you're racing against some of them, because she just, I've said it before, she just looks like a three-year-old and she's just so mature and beyond her age. But she just does everything right and her manners are perfect and good gaited. She's just got everything going for her.
Obviously, early season two-year-old racing maturity and brains helps. But when you look at her cover the ground and you consider she rated 154 around Bathurst at a fourth or fifth start, I would suggest she's not going to be a fly-by-night squib two-year-old. She looks, I know this is a silly thing to say this early in the year, but she looks an Oaks filly to me already.
Yeah, when you see her in the flesh, she looks that way too. As I said, she's just so mature for a two-year-old, especially this early in the season. But I couldn't wait to get to the paddock, and I'm sure she's going to come back after a bit of a break, a bit more refreshed and bigger and stronger again, and I'm excited to see what she can do later in the season.
So what do you do? Because, Brad, it seems to me like if you have a good two-year-old these days, they have all sorts of options. Now, she's a homebred horse. Is she eligible for a lot of those sire stakesy, breeders, challengey type races?
Yeah, she'll definitely have Breeders' Challenge. That's in October, I think. But they got that new slot race in Brisbane through the Winter Carnival, and it's worth $500,000. So have to sort of take that into consideration. And then, whether or not she pushes on to the Breeders' Crown or not, but it could be a bit of a big year for her. But when you got one sort of that goes like she can, and as I said, she's nice and mature, like she doesn't really need the big long sort of 3 or 4 months break in the paddock, because she's already so big and strong already. So definitely have to take it all into consideration, but we've got the next week or two to worry about that, and we'll sort out what we're doing after that.
Brad, there's so many slot races these days, it's hard to keep up with them all. So the slot race in Brisbane in winter, it's $500,000. I've heard a few people speak about it. I must admit I haven't delved into it too much because I don't have a two-year-old good enough to go. Is that 2-year-olds, and I presume the fillies draw inside the boys? Tell us a bit more about that.
I don't think so, unfortunately. If it was, yeah, it should already be booked in. But, as far as I know, I'm pretty sure it's just a ring and barrier draw. But, obviously need a bit of luck. But she's not a one-trick pony either. She doesn't need a load in the races. She won from drawing the back line, won from last. So at this early stage in the season, she's sort of as good as any of the boys going around anyway. But, of course, things can change. Like, a lot of them will start stepping out again in the next couple of months and see where they measure up. But, I'm sure at this early stage of the season, she's sort of as good as most or any of the boys anyway.
You've also got a pretty nice male pacer in the juvenile grade in Springfield, Amore. He won the consolation to the Gold Crown and beat a pretty good horse. He's a treacherous as a nice type of horse for Robbie and Kerri-Ann. So I would presume he's going to be another good horse for Mick Boots, who seems to own about half the good young horses in New South Wales.
Yeah, he's done a super job. He's come off like he's been in for a long time too, especially for a 2-year-old. He's been in since before Christmas, so he's done a really good job to just keep on stepping up to the plate. He's got a great constitution. He's banging the door and knocking you over for a feed every morning, but he's sort of in the same boat. His last couple of starts, he's sort of gone off the boil a bit and not going that great. But, to his credit, he's still wanted to look in and fight that other horse up the straight. But I'm sure he'll be a lot better next time in too after he has a break.
Okay. After Bathurst on Saturday night and the Great Carnival there, you had to, I presume, dust yourself off on Sunday morning, hydrate up and jump in the car to head to Wagga. It was worth the trip because you drove one Extreme C. Now, just for our Gallops and Greyhound listeners who don't know who all the Hewitts are, so David Hewitt, who trains Extreme C, is your dad. That's right, isn't it?
Yep, that's right.
Okay, well, it must be nice to drive a Group 1 winner for Dad in a $100,000 race, Extreme C, beating Don Hugo. That must be something very special for you because you're training at the top end now, but to have family involvement at that level must be very, very cool.
Yeah, that's right, Mick. It was a great Sunday night to obviously get the job done and win with that filly and the connections. But, yeah, it's always special when it's a bit of a family affair and Dad sort of bred this horse and spent a lot of time on him. And he's been a real handful to get going. He's had a lot more trials than he has starts. And, just to see what he's coming out and do and just starting to put it all together, like, I think he could be something pretty special.
Well, he's raced 153.4 for 2270 metres. Now, that's quick anywhere in the world, and I know Wagga can get quick, but I would suggest he's got a free-for-all horse's motor.
Yeah, and I'd say even more, like, the feel he gives you is just something you don't experience much, and they were really good horses there that he blew past yesterday, and he made him look sort of second rate the last 50 or 100 metres. And them horses been coming out and breaking 150. And I think the second horse he beat sooner the better a couple of starts ago, and he came out and ran second in the Miracle Mile. So they're no slouches, but he put the race to bed after about 50 metres after he pulled out. So they just don't do that.
Okay, he's a 4-year-old. You've got a horse already. I believe Captain's Knock has been in the Eureka. Is that correct? That Tab's taken Captain's Knock, or someone's taken Captain's Knock?
Daniel Cordina, and he's booked him in for his slot.
Well, that's awesome. So do you think somebody out there with a slot should be ringing your dad? Because if Extreme C's as good as you think he is, and as good as he looked yesterday, I think he'd sit pretty nicely in a Eureka field.
Yeah, so do I, Mick. Like, I've got all the time in the world for him. He's a super little horse, and I can only imagine, and you'd like to think that after a bit more experience and time down the track, like, it's still another 6 months or so away, you think he's going to be even better again, which is a bit scary. So, like, I think that was his sixth career start there yesterday, and he's still green as anything, and he's doing what he's doing. Like, it's quite unbelievable.
What about Captain's Knock? I mean, we know he's a good horse, and we know he's clearly a sub-150 horse. He's going to be a free-for-aller. What do you do with him between now and the Eureka? What are the other targets? Because you've mentioned the Queensland winter. Do you take him there to keep him ticking over and get him ready for the Eureka?
Yeah, that's the plan. He'll come back into work this week. He's had sort of 2 or 3 weeks off now after the carnival, and yeah, everything's going good with him. So he'll come into work this week and yeah, get him up and going, and hopefully have a start or two before yeah the Brisbane carnival, and yeah, he'll be heading for the rising sun up there.
Your team is in great form. Your strike rate's outstanding at the moment. I think another one to follow is Bluto. Now, he's only had the 2 runs in Australia. He won the Wagga Pacers Cup yesterday. It's a $20,000 race, and he beat one of my favourite horses in Blazing Home. So, what's your opinion of Bluto?
Yeah, I've got a really big opinion of him too, Mick. He's yeah, got plenty of ability. He's just got a few little quirks and things need to still sort out with him. But yeah, he's got plenty of ability. He was actually been working up with Dad's horse at home yesterday, and yeah, there's not a whole lot between them. They're just not the trying to break records at home, but they just yeah do really nice work, and yeah, he gives you the feel of a really nice horse too. He got a good trip yesterday, but he's still good enough to pick him up the straight. So yeah, pretty excited about him going forward too.
How many horses do you have in work, Brad? Because at the moment, it seems that when you're taking horses to the races, more often than not, they're doing the right thing by you.
Yeah, I think yeah, roughly I've got about 18 or 19, and Dad's got sort of 10 or a dozen. It's somewhere around that mark anyway, just off the top of my head.
Okay, so obviously you guys work in together. I presume there's days you're jumping in the car and heading to the races, so Dad has more responsibility than you, and of course your staff.
Yeah, that's right. Nothing ever gets done without the staff at home. Like, we all know that. And yeah, same as the family at home. Like I said, my kids and wife have barely seen me for the last 2 weeks. So yeah, that all can't go unnoticed. But yeah, when I'm going away and stuff like that, Dad sort of looks after everything at home for the afternoon and that. So yeah, it all works out good.
All right, mate. The good news is because you were racing yesterday, you didn't have to watch the Raiders. They were pretty average yesterday.
Yeah, I hadn't even seen the results. I've just seen a couple of things that they got beat, so yeah, won't have to worry about catching up on that one anyway.
No, I would say save an hour and a half of your life and don't bother watching Bass unless you're a Nico Hines fan. Hey, mate, congratulations. Back-to-back big races on Saturday and Sunday, very special. The team's flying, mate, and you've got a horse on the Eureka, and it looks like your dad's going to get one too. So, pretty exciting time. Thank you for joining us this morning to talk, Brad.
Brilliant, thanks, mate.
That's Brad Hewitt doing a super job. He's got a really, really good filly, like 2-year-old filly. And early in the season, sometimes that form doesn't mean a lot in a year or so's time, but it means a lot now. And she absolutely panel beated them and the Gold Tiara on Saturday night, and then to come out yesterday, he's got a really good horse, has Brad's dad, David, in Extreme C. And he beat a horse trained by Luke McCarthy, who also had a pretty big day at the office yesterday at Wagga. But Luke, as you join us now, we'll talk about your winning mares shortly because they were really good. But you know a good horse better than anybody. And Extreme C, who beat you yesterday with Don Hugo, Luke, I thought he looked a pretty good horse.
Yeah, good morning, Mick. And yeah, Extreme C was very impressive. He's got a great turn of foot, and big congratulations to David and Ray Hewitt. And it looks like they got a really good horse on their hands.
Okay, back to the Mares Championship, the 4 and 5 year old Mares Championship, which was also yesterday at Wagga. So you trained the Quinella. So congratulations on that. Were you surprised that Not To Be Denied could beat I Keep Smiling? Because I'm a huge I Keep Smiling fan, and she also beat Major Delight, who ran third. Were you surprised your least favoured filly beat, or mare, sorry, beat your more favoured mare?
Not really, Nick. I, to was thrilled with her run in the heats on the Tuesday, and she was first up in 270 days, and you know, she run major delight to her head, getting home in 26 flat. So I didn't think we could drop a 25.5 quarter and get beat, but she's a very talented mare, works good, and she looks like she's going to take that next step right into that really good open company grade of mares.
You mentioned a 25.5 quarter, so that's what she came home in yesterday to beat I Keep Smiling. That's awfully, awfully quick. I think there's a gap there, Luke, in the Sydney mares at the moment. We know that Old Heather Bubbles is very good, but there's been a few mares who have moved on and retired, and some of them haven't come back. I think the three mares who finished first, second and third here, and to be perfectly honest, even Amanda Turnbull's horse, Windy Hill Tara, I think they're going to be really welcome additions to that mares grade.
Oh, for sure, Mick, and you see it every year. It's a gradual process with mares. You know, some sort of go off to stud, and you know, they do get a real good purple patch for a couple of seasons, some of their mares. And of course, Ladies in Red, you know, we've seen her through the Miracle Mile. She'll be back soon. So, you know, look, it's going to be some really good racing.
Do these mares go to the rescheduled ladieship? It used to be at the Miracle Mile Carnival. It's now going to be in early May. Would these two mares be good enough to be aimed at that?
Oh, definitely. They'll be two of probably the better chances through that series. And, you know, they've had this nice little Wagga series now, and we'll just sort of set them for the, you know, the next lot of good mares races, which is, you know, the 4th of May.
You drove a horse yesterday for Kerry Towers. I don't mind. A horse called the Greek General. I'm not saying he's a superstar or he's going to win a derby, but I think he's a pretty good three-year-old, and I think he's going to be very good through the grades and will turn up in some age group races. I liked him at two, but he just looked a little bit disorganised, and I thought he was good yesterday.
Yeah, he's a really nice horse, Mick. He's he won well yesterday. He saw a horse he's going to go through his career and earn his couple hundred grand and do a really good job for the connections.
Okay, what did you make of Bathurst, one of your old stomping grounds on Saturday night? I thought, as it turned out in the end, it was an incredibly hard-fought Bathurst Gold Crown night, because to win those races or to even try and get over the top of a horse like Bittersweet, you needed to be a serious horse. I thought it was some really good horses out there running about round. Like, you had Kima, who's obviously a very good filly, in the Gold Tiara final, but Bittersweet put 20 metres on them and just looks like a three-year-old racing two-year-olds.
Yeah, it's really good, Mick. Like, she'd probably definitely go with the colts. Bittersweet, like, it looks like a colt. It will be the dominant filly for the whole year. Definitely New South Wales anyway. And, you know, a little bit like Lux Eternal was last year, big, strong, captain treacherous filly, nothing will get near it.
Yep. All right. Looked like good racing there the other night. I know Bathurst on the old track, the little track, used to be a lot of fun, but I think the big track lends itself to better performances of horses. Like, there was a lot of 153s and that sort of thing. Did it feel like a quick night at the office?
Yeah, it did. And, you know, full credit to Harness Racing New South Wales. They built fantastic facilities there at Bathurst and Wagga. We raced, obviously, there yesterday. The tracks are perfect. You know, the crowds come, especially the country meetings, and, you know, them small tracks are outdated, you know, so they've definitely done the right thing going to 1,000-metre tracks and, you know, building the good facilities, and the crowd showed it. They turned up on both nights.
Talking about small tracks, Spirit of St. Louis, you came on the show last week, so we're sorry to bother you 2 weeks in a row, but this is what happens when you win $100,000 races. He's off to Perth for the small track, and he seems to be a horse who probably quite enjoys the small tracks, and they probably make him feel nice and big and strong and happy. So I take it that's still the plan. He's about 2 or 3 weeks away from heading to Perth.
Yeah, he's so versatile. He can handle any track, and Max Delight went fantastic the other night. Full credit to him, he beat us, but he's still running a good race. Running second, another heap early. He'll line up again Saturday night up in Nangle, and then he'll fly to Perth on Sunday.
Okay, we spoke to you last week about the potential to head to the new trot slot race in New Zealand with Constantinople. Have those negotiations got any further? Have they stalled? Is there any chance he's getting on a plane in the next week?
Definitely stalled at the moment. You know, won easy last week, and, you know, still keen to bring him, but just you know, Easter sort of held things up a little bit, but we'll sort that out the next day or two.
All right, so maybe you'll be giving Tony Hurley a call and saying, hey, let's get this done. I wouldn't mind getting across to New Zealand and having a bit of fun and racing in what I think, Luke, is going to be one of the great trotting races of the last 20 years.
Yeah, and I think he had a bit of flavour to it. He's got good form, he's versatile. You've seen him win off cover or sit, you know, run a good race in the park outside, call me the breeze, and then he win last week in front. Like, he's going really well, so we'll just sort that out over the next couple of days, but I think he'd be a good addition to the race.
All right, I might make a phone call, Luke. I'll see if I can help you out there, brother. Mate, congratulations on a good weekend. Yeah, hopefully looking forward to seeing Constantinople fill the last slot in the $575,000 TRV trot. Thank you, mate, for your time.
No worries, Nick. Have a good day.
Yeah, one guy who is heading to New Zealand with his big stable star, Rock and Roll Do, is Mick Stanley, and he'll do so after a very successful Saturday night as well. He won the gold bracelet for the three-year-old fillies. He won it at 80 to 1. You don't often see that. Group 2 harness racing winners at 80 to 1. Don't see them anywhere, Group 2 80 to 1 winners. Soho Honey Rider did the job for Mick. He is travelling. We'll try and grab him when he's on the road. Mick, good morning to you, mate. Congratulations. Soho Honey Rider at 80 to 1. I suppose I've got to ask this. Did you give her any chance?
Morning, Mick. We gave her a top four chance, but the win was a great surprise and a good. Definitely we gave her a top four chance, but it was nice.
Well, she's owned by Rob Watson and it sets her up beautifully. She's well bred and all of a sudden you've got a horse who's worth a bit of money and she's got an instant commercial broodmare career.
Yeah, exactly. Knowing Rob, he's spent a lot of time building his broodmare stock. So to get nice, well-bred fillies that do a great job on the racetrack for him to be able to breed on for is what he strives for. So, I know he was very happy with the result.
Mate, I was talking to Luke McCarthy before we got you up and he was saying it was no place for the faint-hearted there at Bathurst. On that big track now, when they get rolling, gee, it takes good horses to win these crown races.
Yeah, I think it's not only Bathurst. I think when we get to, these good group races, even horses that are stepping out at 100, 150 to 1 are group class horses. That's why they're in there. So, they're always hotly contested and, we saw that even at Wagga yesterday. So they're really great carnivals and great races to be a part of and to be able to win a few of them along the way is always really satisfying.
Okay, you're off to a different type of carnival. Cambridge in New Zealand is a famous galloping town. You're heading there with a very good pacer. I believe he's going to race this week, Rock and Roll Do, on Thursday night at Cambridge, and then roll into the $1 million slot race, the race by Grins, the Friday after. So talk to us about how all this happened. Do you go? Who drives the horse? And all the minutiae of the next 2 weeks of Rock and Roll Do's life.
Yeah, look, he's been there since last Sunday, so he's been there a week. We thought it was really important to give him that lead-up run in the Mikado Mile this week because, he hasn't had a start since that Miracle Mile night. So it's going to be, nearly 5 weeks in between runs and we didn't want to be going into a really hard race like the race by Grins, without a run under his belt. So to get him over there early and, Cran Dalgetty's been looking after him for us since he's been there. As you said, we had the Bathurst Carnival, so unfortunately, you can't be in the, in everywhere, can you? So it's been great to have someone of like Cran to look after him and keep an eye on him. And he's been very happy with how he's settled in and eaten well, drank well and trained really well. So, he says that he's right to go for Thursday night. And I'm not too sure whether I will come over this week just logistically for this race. Anthony will go over and drive him. Being in the middle of the week makes it a little bit hard to get there. So, I mightn't get there till next weekend and yeah, just make sure, you know, everything's still going well leading into the race by Grins.
He seems a horse, to me, who looks happiest when he's at Menangle on the big track. But, of course, he's won a Victoria Cup sitting parked. So are you confident you can still see the best of him on a 1,000-metre track like Cambridge?
Yeah, definitely. You know, 80% of his wins have still come on the 1,000-metre track. So, you know, look, he still does look awkward a lot of the time in his races. Even at Menangle, he can still look awkward at times. But, you know, even now that he looks awkward, I think we've got him in a place where you're still comfortable to drive him however you need to. So, yeah, so that holds no fears. And, I mean, he'll get a look around there on Thursday night in preparation, and Ants will get a feel of him on that 1,000-metre track and give him something to work to towards the Grins anyway.
Okay, it's a $1 million race. It must be nice to be aimed at a $1 million race and not have to worry about Leap to Fame.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, that's obviously a bonus, Leap to Fame not being there. But, you know, we're going to see, you know, four-year-olds like Merlin and Don't Stop Dreaming and that step in and step up in the next 12 months also. So, still not going to be an easy race, you know, and probably, you know, is going to make it a lot more interesting race with Leap to Fame out of it with the depth. So, yeah, looking forward to it. And as you say, you don't get to run around for $1 million every week. So when we got the opportunity, it was a no-brainer to get over there.
Mate, looking forward to having you and the team in New Zealand over the next week or however long it takes you to eventually get here and race for that $1 million on Friday week. Mate, congratulations on Saturday night and thank you for joining us on Sky Sport Radio this morning.
Beauty, thanks, Nick.
Okay, talking to all the winners there, Brad Hewitt, who had dual success Saturday and Sunday, Luke McCarthy and Michael Stanley, or Mick Stanley as people call him, who has his big horse, former Victoria Cup winner, heading to New Zealand this week. So that's Thursday night. A lot of good Australian horses heading to New Zealand. They'll take on Merlin, Don't Stop Dreaming, those type of horses. Then the following Friday, there's the $1 million pacing race and the $575,000 trotting race. Now, that'll be the richest trotting race ever held in Australasia. So they're both on the same night. There's going to be at least four trotters from Australia in the trot and three pacers in the pace. So over the next week and a half or 2 weeks, Brittany, myself, Brandon, Fred, when he gets a chance, we're going to talk a lot more about that and try and give you some oomph, some coverage of that, as Harness Racing's biggest races tend to go across the Tasman at a time when, of course, the Championships is on in Sydney. So there's plenty on the local front. Not a bad time to maybe dial down and have a slight change of pace for some of the major harness races. But it was, as you heard, a wonderful weekend in New South Wales. Great words there from Brad Hewitt about just how successful these big tracks are. And Luke McCarthy, who's one of the best, how good these 2,000-metre tracks, which have been installed by Harness Racing New South Wales, are, and the sort of carnivals they promote. It's Championships Week here, of course, on Sky Sport Radio. We're all looking forward to that, to everybody who has horses involved at that. And, of course, coming up on Sunday for the Inglis sales, their massive sale for Easter. They've got 2 days there. To all the people involved in both of those, from the Harness Racing Co. to the Galloping Brothers and Sisters, we wish you the best of luck. The next On The Pace will be 10:30 on Wednesday morning. But now we're going to take a break, come back on the other side and try and find you a few more winners for our racing action today.